Hey, this is Joe Abraham in the studio. Great to be back in session with LaVon Kerner as we work through our joy makers and joy killers. LaVon, last time started off a little heavy, but ended up on a very high note as you shared your poem and kind of your outcome of this journey of uncovering what shame can do to us, but then where you can find victory in it. Now we transition to a joy maker, thank God. And it's about the roadmap for your life journey. Take us right into it.
Well, when we got rid of shame in our life, that opens up space in our consciousness. And that space demands to be filled. And if we don't fill it with what we're talking about today, joy maker number two, being able to answer the question of as to why I live the way that I do, then it will be filled with what Romans talks about in chapter 2, selfishly ambitions or self-seekingness. And so we must fill it with this joy maker. I really got the power of what it means to fill our life with meaning and purpose a number of years ago. I was working with a company, some of you may recall it, EDS, Electronic Data Systems, out of Plano, Texas. And Les Elberthal at the time was the CEO. And they had hit a 3-year stall. They weren't breaking through, if I remember right, they're around $11 billion, and they weren't making any headway. And so in our discussion, we decided that we would do a transformation. We'll transform their marketing messaging. We'll transform their whole sales methodology and their field management. And so I began. It was a worldwide effort, and we were working. In the process, I heard about this big deal that just happened in Silicon Valley, where EDS and a particular guy was able to penetrate Sun Microsystems with a multi-million-dollar outsourcing deal. His name was Phil Mackey. I wanted you to hear his name. I have in our database at Revenue Storm 21,000 plus psychometric testing results of client-facing people. Out of the 21,000 people, I can tell you categorically, the number one sales guy I had ever met was this gentleman, middle-aged, Phil Mackey. I made it a point to get to know him. We became professional friends. At one point, it began to turn a corner, and I invited him to a Bible study that we were doing virtually. He had some other friends, as did I. And so a guy in Hawaii, two guys up in Seattle, Phil in San Jose area, and a guy down in Plano. And we met every Friday virtually. And we were going through the book written by Rick Warren, A Purpose-Driven Life. I'm hoping a number of you listening to this telecast, in fact, have read it. If not, I would encourage you to. And we were going through, and these guys, with the exception of one, were not Christians. And when we got to chapter number 10, and then this is in their first edition, I think there's been other editions since then, I remember talking about the meaningfulness of life. And it was in that discussion that Phil Mackey, this super, super star sales guy, articulate, a helicopter pilot in the Vietnam War, an unbelievable, a man's man. And he came to know Jesus. Right there over the phone, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior for one purpose. He realized that he was not satisfied with all of his achievements. Something was missing. There was a vacuum. And he wanted to know categorically what would be the roadmap for the rest of his life. and he became a Christian. I think it's true. We've all heard it said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And like a lot of old sayings, there's some real wisdom in that. In the same vein, I began to understand, from the same book, by the way, the necessity of just writing down what it is that I, LaVon, believed. I'm a nature guy, so my real acquaintance with God came from long walks in the woods, both daytime and nighttime. Studying nature and seeing the stars, it became apparent to me that random chance could have never made the beauty that I was in. I began to know that there was an intelligent design. And behind the intelligent design, there was an intelligent designer. The Bible baffled me. I always wondered if it were really true, old book as it was. But then I took time to study it. And I began to read a book that was called The Book That God Wrote. And when it became apparent to me that over 1,500 years, 40-some different authors, and all these time zones and all these eras, they wrote a book that is irrefutable. And every archaeological dig comes up with more validating evidence that this was indeed written by the hand of God. In the person of Jesus, you can't be any type of a historian, but what at some point you got to recognize that history has been divided into two parts, BC and AD, that what happened on Calvary split history in two parts. You couldn't ignore the person called Jesus. At first, he was an intellectual figure to me, but then as I studied him, I fell emotionally forever in love with him. He said some profound things. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Now, either he was a phony liar where he were telling the truth. There is no in-between ground that you can accept. And for each of us, we have to decide, on what side of the fence am I going to live on? Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, or Jesus as a historical figure? But then, the greatest mysteries in life needed to be answered. And for me, there were five mysteries in life that until I got discrete answers for all five of them, there was a restlessness in me. And that restlessness would sabotage my personal joy. The five mysteries of life are, who am I? From where did I come? Why am I here? What should living my life be all about? Where am I going? I took the time to write down my answers to all five. And for those of you listening to this telecast who are parents, I would encourage you to do the same, and that you would give what you write up, your answers to those, your answer to the question of why I'm living the way that I am living. You need to write them up, and I would ask you to present them to your children at some point in their life. You could put it under the cover in the family Bible when you give it to them for the next generation. Or you could take each of them out to dinner and say, I wanted you to have this. They will find it interesting, but they will not find it life-changing the first time they read it. It won't be until they get older, until they are haunted by the same five mysteries of life. Who am I? From where did I come? Why am I here? What should living my life be all about? Where am I going? Until they recognize that those need to be satisfied or they'll be forever searching, and joy will never come until answers to those five mysteries of life have been adopted for themselves. It is so true, for it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." How personal. Of all the millions and billions of people on the planet Earth right now and over all of history, God had a personal plan for my life. When he designed me and created me in the womb of my mother and decided who my parents should be and what time I should be on planet Earth, all of that had to do with those plans. Let me read them again. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11. When I went through all of that and I got permanency about my answers to those questions, I became a purpose-driven individual, without which fullness of joy simply is not possible. I put it all together in a poem, and the poem goes like this: "He designed me for me and gave me to me. He implanted my potential into even me, though it I could not see. He set me on a course that was designated only for me. So I wouldn't lose my way, he gave me the Holy Spirit, whose guidance would be key to fulfill my potential is the way it was intended to be. But I got lost because my focus was entirely on me. To my guilt and shame, I had made a mess of me. But by the power of his love, I repented, and he heard my plea. And now, through grace and for the second time, he regave me to me. First, I was born of the flesh. Now, born of the Spirit, honoring my request on bended knee. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me back to me. And in my new wisdom, I'm giving me to thee. And may it always be for all eternity."